there has been a lot of research with modern astronomers detecting perturbations in the outer planets, as if there's something pulling at the planets that they can't still clearly define what that is. Once they got to Uranus, they were able to detect that there was still a pull on it leading out to Neptune. So once they got to Neptune, they were able to detect that there's still a pull being asserted, and Pluto, being as small as it is, could not account for that anomalous pull. So that led them to believe, doing mathematical calculations, that that pull is being exerted by another planet farther outside of our solar system, which has now been labeled as Planet X.
The hunt for Planet X is nothing new. In fact, scientists thought Pluto was Planet X to explain the gravitational anomalies in our solar system. Many scientists now believe that our solar system, like most solar systems in the universe, is binary, having two suns. Now, the Sumerians tell us that Nibiru takes 3,600 years to complete one orbit. How could it have such a long elliptical orbit? Well, it would explain it if it had to go around two suns to get back into our inner solar system. This would account for its 3,600-year orbit.
Our scientists have recently come aware of what they call extrasolar planets or traveling planets, brown dwarfs that are suns that are too small to really light but kind of smolder and emit their own light. Sometimes they're called wandering planets or wanderers. Most suns are binaries. Our sun is a binary. Our sun's twin never lit. It is a dark, dead sun in a fixed position in space, as our sun is a fixed position in space. This particular large planet, which travels and comes in over only every 3,657 years, is orbiting both the suns, where the rest of the planets in our solar system are orbiting only the one sun. That's why it comes into our solar system only every 3,657 years and is gone for a long time.
The chief scientist of the IRAS satellite actually announced having found this planet December 30th, 1983. It was picked up by six dailies. It made the Washington Post. It's one of those daily newspapers that picked it up. Very quickly thereafter, they wanted to make sure people understood that it was a mistake, that they didn't actually see a planet. More than likely, it was a fog of a distant galaxy or something. So what they intended on finding, they found, then announced, then realized what their announcement meant, and then decided to clamp down and keep their story quiet and would not discuss another planet in their solar system for quite some time.
If NASA did discover, or should I say rediscover, a 10th planet in our solar system, then why would they have the need to cover it up? I mean, this would be the biggest discovery of the century, and yet, if it is covered up, there must be some reason to withhold this information from the public.
Planet X, as told to us by the Sumerians, has caused havoc on our planet in the past. As it discusses in the Bible, there's a day of Armageddon, or in the Revelations that fire will fall from the skies and there'll be all types of calamities of this sort. The Sumerians explained to us that when Nibiru, Planet X, passes through our inner solar system once every 3,600 years, it has gravitational effects on all the planets, one of them being Earth.
Every time Planet X passes, its foci is the Sun, so it's headed towards the Sun. And of course, Planet Earth's orbit is really rather near the Sun. In fact, all the planets in our solar system are affected by the passage. But if Planet X passes a certain million number of miles away from Earth, you can expect a pole shift.
What causes a pole shift? It's very simple if you think of a couple of magnets, and when you played with them as a child and you lined them up end to end, North Pole to South Pole, and they snap together. And they just want to line up that way. If you have a couple of planets with a strong magnetized core passing each other in space, the larger one is going to cause the smaller one to move. Just as a child, when you put magnets on a table, you found that when you pushed one toward another, you could cause motion, you know, almost like magic. So if the larger planet comes from the south, North Pole to the Earth's South Pole, at first everything is pretty much lined up. There might be a little tugging and confusion, but as the larger one passes the smaller one being Earth, it will actually grip its South Pole and tip it as it passes. So this is what causes pole shifts. The only time you have such a thing happening to a planet is if you have two planets highly magnetized passing in close proximity to each other.
This makes sense. If our little moon, that's only one quarter the size of Earth, has such an impact, gravitational influence on Earth, affecting our tides, affecting earthquakes. Imagine what something 23 times the mass of Earth, 4 to 5 times its size, could do to us.
There's evidence that in the past, such as the Ice Age and mastodons being frozen instantly with still undigested food in their stomach, all over the Earth, there is evidence that in the past we have had polar shifts or some type of cataclysmic event on Earth, which happens in cycles over time.
If this is in fact true, there would have to be evidence of these passages, ecological evidence, archaeological evidence that shows the calamitous events that transpire during each passage.
Our Earth gives evidence that we have had periodic pole shifts. There's mountain building in and of itself is evidence. These mountains are like pushed together. If you're in an airplane and you look down at foothills, for instance, it almost looks like a rumpled blanket, like somebody took a blanket and pushed it and rumpled it. Mountains are forced upwards with great masses of rock snapping. This is signs of great pressure, not the gentle squeezing and pushing that happens with earthquakes at all.